Joining us now here on the KYMN Morning Show is Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. We certainly appreciate it. Are you distancing yourself? Are you sheltering in place today?
Yes, this morning I'm sheltering from, but Jeff, for some reason I'm hearing myself. There we go. I think we got it now.
All right.
Jeff, I'm sheltering myself from my basement office here on Superior Drive, and we'll stop in to check in on the child care center a little bit later today. But we've asked, you know, as many of our people who can work from home to make sure that they can do that. We've provided a lot of opportunities and school district-owned devices. So almost all of our staff have an option to work from home, with the exception of folks who are working in the child care center, where we're supporting the children of emergency workers and healthcare workers. Yesterday, we had above 60 people take part in that. Obviously, our child nutrition folks who are providing free meals for children, we've added some bus routes to that as well. So we're also working with Benjamin Bus to help us. We've got 5 different bus routes that are also helping deliver meals to children, in addition to our 11:30 to 12:30 drive-up and walk-up service at Greenville Park, at the Northfield High School, and at Sibley Elementary. Yesterday, we served 572 breakfasts and 572 lunches. So great job by Stephanie Strummy and her team. And of course, the child nutrition people are coming in to do their work. They're appropriately socially distancing. And then our custodial crew, they are reporting to work with no other people in the building. They have the opportunity to socially distance, and they are working on keeping the minimal safety and operation of the facility. And they are able to actually start to get a head start on summer work. And so there's a lot of cleaning that we would have maybe started to do, deeper cleaning, not just disinfecting. They've already disinfected all of the facilities. But now what they're doing is they are getting into some of that work they would have done in the summer. So people are being productive. They're doing what they are able to do in this unique time of shelter in place, Jeff.
Now, with that, you had mentioned some of the summer work, getting a little bit of a head start on that. We're going to get to distance learning in just a moment or so. But before that, I want to check in from a standpoint of construction.
The new
Greenvale School, are the crews able to work on that? And are we still on time as schedule-wise?
Yeah, so I'm getting regular updates from Knutson Construction, who are our construction management firm. And construction is listed as one of the critical services by Governor Walz. And so our construction is continuing unabated. One thing that the community should know is that Knutson Construction has a tremendous amount of experience working on projects at the Mayo Clinic. So they already have a number of very strict policies that they have put into place around infection containment. And so we're very fortunate to have this construction management firm who has all of these existing policies and procedures to be able to keep the work going and making sure that people are safe. Now, as of right now, most of the things that we are expecting to be delivered to site for the construction are still coming as planned. But we all know that obviously everyone's life has been disrupted, and we are anticipating that there could be some things that could potentially slow down the process a bit. But what Josh Cooper and our friends at Knutson Construction have said is that they're continuing forward. They are taking the same kinds of care that they do when they work at the Mayo Clinic. So we're very fortunate to have a construction crew that is has that kind of experience. Now, that's not to say that as the virus continues to spread and infections rise, and that may not change. That's what I'm telling you as 8:49 a.m. on April 2nd, which I now timestamp all of my statements, Jeff, because it does seem like things change fairly frequently. And it doesn't feel like they're changing as quickly as they did, say, a week or 2 weeks ago. But, you know, we're still having things that change multiple times a day. So right now, continuing forward, we did have our bid opening for Longfellow we had on Tuesday. We did it via Zoom. So via video conferencing, we had just a couple of people. We took some really good precautions. So when people did submit their bids, as I have mentioned to you before, Jeff, we have this fogging machine that's a very fine mist that has got a very high kill rate. And as those bids came in, we actually fogged them down with the disinfectant. And then Jim Kalseth opened them. I read them on Zoom. We had several dozen people who joined the call either via telephone or via video conference. And while we're still calculating all of the alternate bids, we know that the general base bid came in under what our projection had been. So we know that's good, and we're looking at, we had seven different alternates for the Longfellow project. And again, at Longfellow, what we're doing is we're renovating that main floor to become district offices. So we'll move out of the high school and move into Longfellow. That building was built in the 1940s. It's a great, solid facility, just not as great of a place for smaller children anymore, but it's a fine place for superintendents to work. And so there's renovation to move our district offices out of the high school to Longfellow, and of course, renovating the lower floor to serve as a boardroom and some other building kinds of things. Our area learning center will stay on the top floor, but the bulk of the renovation is on the main floor and the lower level. So we're still seeing what of those alternates could we accept, but we know that the base construction bids came in about $70,000 under was our initial calculation.
We're talking once again with Schools Superintendent Matt Hillman. Let's get into distance learning. When we talked to you, I had you on last week. Last time we had you on was, I believe, last Thursday. Still in the middle of spring break, it was kind of I don't want to characterize it as a frantic rush, but everybody was focused on getting this distance learning into place. Now that you've done it, you've had school for 3 days. Preparations, you'd warned that you're asking for forgiveness and grace. Has it gone smoothly? Have there been some glitches?
So let's start with how proud the community should be of their educators in this district. And when I talk about educators, I'm talking about everybody that works at the school. We've already highlighted the work that our child nutrition folks have done, that our child care people have done in serving the needs of our emergency and healthcare workers. But many, many, many of our teachers gave up their spring break to learn new tools and to have a sense of urgency. So I wouldn't say it was frantic, Jeff. I would say that there was a clear sense of urgency of saying, in less than 8 days, how can we turn our educational system from one where we are focused on an in-person delivery model with technology as an accelerator to where we still are working to prioritize relationships, but it's going to be through a different method. And the people in the community can be incredibly proud of how hard our staff, our educators have worked to get this to the point where I think we've had a successful opening. Now, when you have success, we, as you know, Jeff, we are transparent. We tell you what the areas of problem are as well. But so far, what I would say is that the way people prepared for this, there are people on our staff that 2 weeks ago had no idea what Zoom was. They thought it was a setting on their camera. And now they are conducting video conference sessions with students via the Zoom application. That has been a success story overall to begin with. Again, one of the things we want to make sure is that we continue to maintain and build these relationships that we have with children during this very unusual time. We know that relationship between student and teacher is a powerful one. We know that kids are really successful when they have at least one positive adult relationship outside of their immediate family. So our focus on trying to have some video conferencing, it's part of the overall plan. It's not the entire plan. But I know that we focused this week on just making sure that kids were acclimating to this environment. So we're taking it slow the first week to go fast. So what I'm hearing from people is overall success. At the same time, we have to be very honest that the Schoology, that is our learning management platform, what I can tell you on March 31st, which was our first day, we had over 31,000 student connections to our Schoology platform. We had 2,500 teacher connections to our Schoology platform. And then somebody went in and came out. Looking at also having about 1,500 parent accesses of our Schoology platform. And we're using Schoology with really 6 through 12 exclusively, and then 4th and 5th grade are also using it as well. And they're using it in some different ways. But unfortunately, you think about it, Schoology is a platform that is used. It's a learning management system. So if you think of, for our listeners, think of a Facebook group that is totally focused on education and about getting information about your classes. People can post updates. They can post videos. They can post files. They can actually embed quizzes. There's all sorts of things that they can do within it that replicate or try to replicate. I shouldn't say replicate. Try to replicate the school environment. So think of Schoology as a closed Facebook group for each individual class, if that makes sense. Students can see all of their different classes. They get information from their teachers. They can view video. They can get links to their Zoom meetings. They can take quizzes. They can submit work. They can actually complete work on their iPad and turn it in digitally to their teacher. Our students, especially at the middle school and high school, are very used to that part of the system. But of course, when you now go to the bulk of the nation trying to do distance learning, Schoology, there, like the other platforms that are their competitors, they all did everything that they could to expand their infrastructure in a very short time. But unfortunately, each of the first 3 days this week, we did not have students on Monday. That was a pre-planned teacher work day, the final day for people to prepare for distance learning. But we know the schools in Minnesota on Monday who use Schoology. We know yesterday and the day before there were some intermittent performance issues, sometimes where it seemed that the system was down and you had to do a few tricks to get access to the things that you're working through. And we understand that. I mean, all of the systems across this nation, no matter what it is, are facing pressure. COVID-19 has changed the way that we operate, and that's why we have been asking for that grace and forgiveness along the way. The Schoology performance is something that we can't control, but we also are giving grace to them that we know that they are committed to serving their customers, and we know they are working incredibly hard to make sure that they have the capacity to handle it. And we will continue to monitor and adjust. That's one of our guiding principles for distance learning. And I think we saw people yesterday and the day who have, they're being very creative and people are stepping up. So I witnessed a staff member yesterday who said, "Hey, I figured out a way to get some to get information to my kids when Schoology is acting up." And this person did a screencast, which what that means is that they're recording their computer screen while the person is talking, giving instructions, "Here's how I did it," and then shared it with the rest of their building. We've had a teacher leader at our high school, Jody Saxton West, one of our finest educators in the district, who took it upon herself to organize practice sessions with the Zoom video conferencing tool. And we had three different sessions with more than 40 people joining those. And within Zoom, you can actually create small groups. You can send students to virtual breakout rooms so they can do some discussion about a topic that the teacher is asking them. But nobody had done this in our district in the until the last couple of weeks. And so I'm so proud, and the community can be so proud of our educators for stepping up and getting this ready. Now, we've had some issues with Schoology. We certainly acknowledge that. We know that that's an issue. We also are making sure that we continue to get everybody all of the login credentials that you need. Anyone who has not been able to get into a website that they forgot their password for or signing up, you realize that once you're in and you have that password saved, things are pretty good. But we anticipated this week that people were going to need to have some additional help to be able to log in, to get their credentials, because it's something that if I saved it and I had changed my password, mind you, Jeff, we have 6 technology staff members. We're a very lean district administratively. We, of course, as you know, we've talked over the years, we prioritize putting as much resource into the classroom as we possibly can. So our support teams tend to be very lean, and we have 6 technology people for nearly 4,000 students, about 500 staff, and around just under 5,000, between 4,500 and 5,000 devices. And so these people have been knocking it out of the park, doing everything that they can to support people, and other folks have stepped up to assist as well. And it's really heartwarming to see how people are crowdsourcing, if you will, some solutions to some basic technology issues, a login, some of those kinds of things, how they're using Google to say, okay, because I was a technology director for a number of years, Jeff, and when people ask me a question, I usually Googled it, and that's how we would figure it out. So people have stepped up. Our families have stepped up, and our students are stepping up. And so one of the things that we're really focusing on is making sure every student is connected. Our last count before yesterday is we had 98.4% of our 3,975 students with an internet connection. Our 50 hotspots from T-Mobile came in yesterday, and so we're working on a plan to distribute those to people who still are without internet access. And then, so it's about a total of 65 or 67 students that I had seen on our list at the end of yesterday. Of course, there are less families than that. So we're going to be able to take care of a bunch of people with these T-Mobile hotspots today or tomorrow. They're getting inventory. We're prioritizing where they go. And then I'm not able to share the exact solution yet, Jeff, but we've been working really well with we've been working with the city of Northfield, who's been a great partner trying to help us get this last half mile of kids who need access. We've been working with a number of other companies within the community to try to create some solutions for these folks who still just weren't able to get connected yet. And our goal is 100% of people to be connected. We are going to get there. We are hopeful that we'll get there by the end of this week, but it may go into next week. But we will be relentless in making sure that everyone is connected. And our parents at home are starting to give us some feedback about how their learning experience is going. We're getting some very positive feedback from lots of people about how quickly we scaled this. We're also hearing some initial pieces about people, especially with multiple kids, who are feeling some overwhelm, right? So we have this shelter-in-place order. We then have our children at home. We now have some semblance of a school structure. Some of the feedback we had gotten was really wanting to maintain some kind of school structure. So some things that were synchronous that felt like a school day and other things that were asynchronous that you can do on your own at whatever time is convenient for your family. And we're really working hard to provide that balance for people. Every family has a different circumstance. Every family has a different way that they approach this. And we're trying to create a distance learning environment that honors all of those. But, you know, of course, we're not going to be able to get to the point where we can give every single, student or family the exact piece that they need. So we're trying to do everything we can to create those systems where we can support as many of those needs as we possibly can. And we're getting there. There will be some, this is still going to be trial and error and some practice and finding what works and doesn't. You know, I would say over the next for sure week, we'll then get into a cruising altitude just like we do with the regular school year. And it's different. And it's for people who really thrive on being in the same room with others. This is really hard. And especially as we know, as the infection count continues to rise, in the next few weeks, everyone's going to know someone who has been infected. And that adds another additional layer to this complexity of I'm at home, I'm making sure that I follow the governor's order for shelter in place, which we know when we look at the data from other states like the state of Washington, when those states implemented the social distancing and some of the items that Governor Walz has so ably led here, we know that that has slowed the spread of infection. So our peak is being pushed out because of the fact that we're taking these kinds of steps. It creates all sorts of pressure on people, and we absolutely understand that. We'll continue to work with everyone to try to meet their needs. We stand ready to help. But so far, Jeff, I would say it's successful. There are some issues, obviously, that we want to solve here in the coming weeks, and there will be other issues that will come up as we move forward. But what we really appreciate is people's support and understanding and patience, because we all know that this is a surreal reality, that everyone is doing the best that they can. And I'm really proud of Minnesota, where we so valued the education of our children. We just didn't say, well, let's just cancel the whole thing, right? We said, no, we don't accept that. We prioritize education, and we want to make sure that we do whatever we can to keep that education going. It is not the same. It is not going to be exactly what it is in the classroom. I've taught in a distance learning environment at the graduate school level since 2003. And I have a lot of experience with this, and I don't usually share that with people, but at the same time, what I will tell you is that it is different. And whatever you do in person, it takes longer to do in the distance learning environment. And there are some highs and lows. We'll continue to work through those and do everything that we're able to meet the needs of as many people as we can, because we care deeply about our students. We care deeply about our families. We care deeply about our staff. And I'm really proud of how we have stepped forward with this to this point. Not that it's been perfect, not that it's even been excellent yet, right? But I would say we're certainly in that very good category right now. And in Northfield, we expect excellence. And we will commit to continuous improvement. This will keep getting better day by day. And I think at the end, we'll be able to look at each other and say that we were proud of something. Proud of this.
Superintendent Hillman is with us from the Northfield School District. You know, we've got, this is just an enormous, really a national experiment. No precedence, but this will probably, I would imagine, go a long way in saying what direction the education systems are going in the future as far as methods of transmission. And Superintendent Hillman, do you know, I would imagine there's a lot of people taking, on a national scale, a lot of people taking notes, taking interest, and seeing what works and what doesn't, and what the future of education might look like, because they've got a golden opportunity to check out a lot of it right now.
Jeff, I think you're absolutely right, and if I had a little more time, I'd be one of those people doing some research on it, but that's not within my... I'm very interested and thankful for the people who are doing that. We'll be doing that locally, but you're right, Jeff. Remember, we've said this many times, the final stage of a pandemic is that it is demobilization. This will end. We don't know when it will end, and that's disconcerting for many of us. We don't know how long some of these social distancing or shelter in place restrictions will last. We know that we have the order through the next couple of weeks here in Minnesota. We've seen other states where those have been extended. But when we do come back, education, a lot of times people will say, well, we can just do all education online. I'm a technology aficionado. I understand that technology can be a powerful tool in education. And in certain circumstances, total online learning works for some people in some cases. But remember that education, first and foremost, is a human exchange. It's a human interaction. We will not be in a place where we will not have schools as we have them now. They could look different in terms of how we run within inside of them. And people who are leveraging these online tools right now, they are going to make excellent use of them as we come back. And I see more of a blended learning environment where we can even go deeper in personalizing student learning, when we can have that mix of being in person and having the mix of allowing learning to occur anytime, anywhere. That's something we've been continuing to march toward for a long time. Now people are they're getting this complete opportunity for the next month or so to be able to hone those skills. And when we come out of it, there are some silver linings that we look at. What are the positive things that come out of a horrific situation? And one of them will be the capacity that we've all developed to be able to leverage these kinds of tools as part of our overall learning plan. We know that every student who we have right now, at some point, is going to need to take an entirely online course. They're going to telework. That is the future of work. We know that most industries are able to do this, and some require it. So students are also getting an experience in this way that we could not have replicated anywhere else. Now, I wish that it would not have taken a global pandemic health crisis to make that happen, but we are looking for what are the things that we can get out of this at the end that are going to leverage our education system moving forward. And I do think there's some really positive things there. The other part of it, Jeff, that I think we all have to acknowledge is that when we are sheltering in place, human connection is vital. And we know that the internet is something that does connect us. For all of its good and all of its bad, we know that it is something that allows people who are in their homes right now to see their loved ones, right, through video conferencing software, FaceTime, you know, Google Meets, Zoom, all those kinds of things. It allows us the opportunity to be able to be with people who we normally could not have been. And, you know, this can be lonely for people, especially if you're a person who's in your home and you're the only, maybe you have one or two family members. That outside connection is important. And we also know access to reliable information is also very important. And I think one of the things that I hope that we come out of this is understanding that the internet is the equivalent of rural electrification in the 1950s. We now all look at electricity and water, you know, the work that the city does with our water supply and all those things as basic services. And I think we're going to need to get to a point where we understand that the internet is a basic service now, and that life is really becoming more and more, I wouldn't say dependent on it, but we are certainly needing it to be able to realize the basic living that we want to do each day. And so as we have been really working hard, and Hope Langston, who's our director of assessment, I assigned her to be in charge of making sure every student is connected. And she's gone above and beyond to make sure that every kid has access to this. But when we come out of this, I hope we can look at each other as a society and say, we now recognize that we can't let anyone not have access to the internet, because it is such a critical service. And I do think that it is similar to electricity, to a good water supply, things like that, as part of, I think we're learning that right now, of how important it is. And so for those most vulnerable among us who don't have that connectivity, I really worry for them. And there are people who choose not to have that connectivity. That's a different story, right? But for people who want it and who aren't able to get it yet financially, I think we need to come together as a community and say, how can we make that happen for people?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Superintendent Hillman, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Have yourself a good day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yep. So everybody out there, please make sure you're following those social distancing guidelines, and please make sure you get takeout from one of the many fine restaurants in Northfield that are still doing that. We need to make sure that we support our business community, and above all else, make sure you wash your hands, people. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Matt. Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman, joining us right here on the KYMN Morning Show. It is coming up on about 10 after 9. We've got great music all day long. Twins baseball today, a good one from last year. At noon today, we'll be airing the Twins versus the LA Angels that happened in May of last year. 8 home runs for the Twins in that contest. So that's coming up for you in a few right here at noontime on KYMN Northfield. World News is next.